The book of Proverbs teaches us a simple pattern that works most of the time in life. If you do good, good things will happen to you, but not always. One of the places in the Bible that addresses this head-on is the book of Ecclesiastes. Life is unpredictable, sometimes unfulfilling and even unjust. What's the meaning of this? How are we to think about it? The book of Ecclesiastes is a collection of the musings of someone who calls himself the teacher. His intent is to take a hard, honest look at the way things are in real life, under the sun. The teacher knows all about the helpful and compact wisdom proverbs of Israel's sages, yet he is frustrated that life is filled with unforeseen disasters. He notes that even what he does get accomplished often doesn't last. Ecclesiastes explores these tensions with a series of reflections looking at the perplexities of life from various angles. Work, pleasure, status, wealth, and even wisdom itself can't provide us with lasting answers. So, what can we do? The teacher closes with two key conclusions, one short-term and one long-term. First, since so much of life is marked by futility, it makes sense to find enjoyment in the moment through simple pleasures. But more importantly, it is crucial to know that God is watching and working in ways we don't know. Even in our frustration with the brokenness of life now, it makes sense to love and follow God's good ways for living. When the time comes, He will indeed make everything clear and set all things right. Book 5 of the Psalms completes Israel's journey through the exile and into God's rescue of His people. The overall tone is on giving thanks and praise to the God who acts to save and restore. These songs are about a God who hears, who responds, and who is faithful to His covenant. Israel was floundering without direction, so God gave them His law and instruction. Israel was displaced and nearly destroyed, yet God brought them home. Israel wanted to celebrate together, so they sang God's songs on their way up to Jerusalem. Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. By entering into Israel's story with God, we can find the strength and joy we need for the highs and lows of our own journey.
So again, that's kind of a summary of what you will be reading this week. The last 3 days of reading are that next section of Psalms 107 through 134, and you'll come across some wonderful imagery in those particular psalms. The first 2 days are the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to be reading some of that this morning together. And as we've been doing in this series, kind of trying to draw out some reactions and conversation that we think about as we read some of these verses this morning. We've been looking at Proverbs the last couple of weeks, and Proverbs in many ways is a very accessible and Maybe I don't necessarily want to use the word simpler, but it presents a more straightforward way of life. Those little two-line proverbs, that these are some of the guidelines. I think one of the images that someone used last week was it's sort of like a bowling lane with bumpers on the side, like guardrails to life to kind of keep us going in the right direction. But one of the things that you quickly find out, and everyone here, I'm assuming, has encountered this, is that life is not all roses and sunshine. You can do everything right under the sun, and things still sometimes don't work out. You don't always have success. So Proverbs is not about a bunch of prescriptions to follow, like if you do X, then Y will always happen. Ecclesiastes is kind of the other side of the coin. It presents a deeper reality to life. And if we're honest, some of the verses I included today are a little bit depressing. We're going to start out on a super high note by just the first two verses. I want to read these for you from Ecclesiastes 1. The book opens, "These are the words of the teacher, King David's son, who ruled in Jerusalem." And this is how the book starts out. "Everything is meaningless," says the teacher. "Completely meaningless." So I really wanted us to start out on a high note so that we have somewhere to go from here. So when you start this book and you encounter, bam, right off the bat, that verse, you're like, oh no, what are we getting into? Is everything really meaningless? Completely meaningless? Let me read the last bit of this section of chapter 1. "What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description." Don't you feel that way sometimes? Every now and then. "No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, 'Here is something new,' but actually it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now." Before we read a little bit further, just to kind of set the table a little bit, this is the experience of this person called the teacher. We think it's probably Solomon. But these are his sort of musings or reflections on life, a lifetime of experiencing and observing and seeing things. And as you go on to read the book of Ecclesiastes, if you're using most Bibles, we will subdivide it into different sections, and it'll say things like the futility of work. Isn't that an encouraging word? It'll say things like the futility of wealth and some of those other categories that the video introduced. And one of the things that the teacher discovered through life is that searching for meaning in any of those areas was ultimately completely meaningless for him. But there's a caveat. Completely meaningless when he was trying to achieve peace or wholeness or whatever it was he was looking for, meaning apart from God. He comes to a couple of conclusions, and we'll talk about this. Later on in chapter 1, he says, all of these things that we go about doing are like chasing the wind. What is wrong cannot be made right. What is missing cannot be recovered, he says. So you get this impression that this is a guy who almost is writing, it feels like he's beaten down by life in some regards. There are some universal experiences in life. What are some of the things that you would say would be a universal experience? Now, we have to be careful because not everything that we experience is the same, but if we were to say things that tend to happen to more people than not, what would be some of those universal experiences? Learning how to tie your shoes, unless you're a Velcro person. Unless you don't like shoes. You know, if you're one of those like people that like to run with the no shoes. Universal experiences. What are things that you think a lot of people have experienced or encountered? The loss of loved ones. Probably. The birth of a child. So kind of the flip side, the loss and the joy. Yep, a lot of people have experienced that. A lot of people have experienced marriage, yes. Learning how to walk, hopefully, yeah. And a couple of our learning how to swim. What a wonderful thing. Thank you for posting, and congrats to Ray and Cheese for completing that course. That's pretty awesome. One of the things that the teacher discloses that he sees as almost kind of a universal is this. It'll really lift your spirits. The experience of disappointment. That just about everyone has encountered a broken promise, a shattered dream, an unfilled expectation, and searching for meaning in life. So as we look at this first bit, before we jump to the backside of and the further chapters, let's just look at some of those questions that we did, and then we'll come back to the other verses. What stands out to you in this opening part? What does this make you think about? Nothing under the sun is truly new, okay? Yeah. So eventually, you know, our big hair trend will come back. And our big glasses and terrible clothes from previous, everything kind of circles back. Yeah, history has sometimes we say history tends to repeat itself, especially when we don't learn. And even if we do learn, stuff still tends to repeat itself, yeah. What else? What else stands out to you in this opening bit? And again, this is written in a style where he's not trying to give you his conclusions right away. He's giving you his observations based on his experience. Same stuff, different day. That's a good way of putting it. And don't we have times like that where it's like, get up, rinse, repeat, go to bed. Get up, rinse. We do have times like that. Sometimes long seasons like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you don't know the end, if you haven't gotten to the payoff pitch, since we're in baseball season, then we would think that he has missed the point by saying everything is meaningless. Yeah. Okay. You find comfort in this? Okay. Yeah. So Rebecca says she finds some comfort in this because sometimes we have such ridiculous expectations that we put on ourselves and we think that everything rises and falls with us, and often we're a little bit too small for that. Yeah. What did a previous boss say to you one time? Rebecca, you're not indispensable. Ooh. Yeah, you don't want to hear that, but when we take a step back, and we stop being offended, we think, you know what? Yeah, there are most of our time we are not we are indispensable, or we're not into, you know what I mean. Not. Yeah. The devil has always been at work. Just as I've said this on the positive side of things, like when we think of the good news has never changed, but the way it is communicated has always changed. In fact, Jesus used many different ways to communicate the good news. The devil has done the same thing. We know the devil lies and tries to confuse and cause chaos and disorder, and the methods that are used are often repackaged for the times that we're in. Yeah. I can see that. Yep. People have gone through similar things in eras past, and presumably that will happen for those who follow us. One of the things that the teacher does say later on in the book is, I'm sort of paraphrasing, what then is the point? That's one of the things that kind of, when I read this opening bit, kind of makes me think about, well, then what's the point of everything, you know? Yeah. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied.
I always look for ways to possibly improve it.
Okay. So when you've made something, you look for ways to maybe make it better or create it a little bit, yeah. Improve it. Yeah.
Like it's not completely made.
Not completely made, yeah. Or in the words of the little girl in the phone commercial, we want more. Yeah. We'll come back to the other questions. If you flip on to the other side, I didn't put these verses on here, but I'll read them in a little bit. There's a couple of verses from chapter 2, or if you'd like to take notes, you can write down verses, chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. That's one of the sections where the author gives a little bit of a conclusion. But let's read this section from chapter 3. What do people really get for all their hard work? This is right after he's gone through a section on the futility of work. And I know that anyone who's worked in some capacity has had those days where it's just like, everything just seems kind of futile. I have seen the burden God has placed on us all. Yet, I always like that word, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I concluded there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. And I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear, that is, revere Him. And then we'll skip all the way to the very end of the book. And in the middle, he has many more reflections on things that are futile. And if the teacher is Solomon, as we think it is, Solomon tried to find meaning in many, many different ways, and was always disappointed when he tried to find meaning apart from God. Chapter 12 says, the words of the wise are like cattle prods, painful but helpful. Remember, Solomon was granted wisdom by God and considered the wisest person ever to live. And he's writing these words almost to himself as well. Their collected sayings are like a nail-studded stick with which a shepherd drives the sheep. We talked about that last week, that sometimes the wisdom of God and that, you know, the wise person is the one who accepts correction, and that's not always pain-free. But my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful, for writing books is endless and much study wears you out. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. There were some other verses that we could have included, but I wanted to keep it kind of on one sheet for us today. Again, to those questions, what stands out to you in those next sections?
Mm-hmm. Rather than to God, and that's this whole, like, just even from the beginning, like, everything's going to seem meaningless if we're not grounded, and that's like a consequence of sin and being separated from God.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And so it just seems like a kind of like a long story of this is what happens when we get stuck and we stop looking in the right direction.
Yeah, we do. We keep seeking. And the reality is that, yes, sin has separated us from God. We live in this, let's be honest, we live in a weird world. A world where there is both goodness and joy and life, but at the same time also disappointment, heartache, death. And we live in this kind of like weird middle space where how God first created humanity, we aren't there. And we're not quite yet where God is leading us to. And living in that middle space is kind of a tension. And so, yes, we do keep searching for things all over. Thank you. That was a good insight. What else? What about either the first or the second question? What stands out to you, or what is confusing or troubling about some of this? Much study wears you out, okay?
Kind of passed on from one another, right?
In our time?
Yeah.
How was it in there in his time?
Yeah.
It was a little bit of both. Solomon's kind of an interesting character because not only wise, but one of the things that happened was sort of the collection of these wise sayings. You know, he did do a lot of, whether he was just, you know, writing and someone else was, or he was dictating and someone else was writing. So they were also in a time where there were a lot of people that thought that they could just think their way out of a problem or trouble. Solomon came to discover that too was ultimately meaningless in that it left you empty at the end when it was done apart from God. You can be the smartest, wisest person in the world and still not know the full mystery of God. None of us will ever know the full mystery of God. We can either throw up our hands about that, or we can accept it. I don't always like to do that. Or something in the middle, you know. Okay, I kind of get it. Yeah, chapter 3, as you go along reading, Ecclesiastes 3 is the chapter that you probably have heard about. I chose not to use a lot of that today. That's the section that says there is a time for this and a time for that. There's a season for this and a season for that. Yep. Yeah.
Actually really cause a lot of trouble for us if we're not in the world too. We're looking in books.
We can get caught in our head
and
fail to live in the reality around us.
So I guess it goes back to that. I think about that verse because it's like you have to balance
everything.
And that's a hard, that's not saying that's easy, but
yes.
It's important.
And when you think of books that you have read or come across, some of the most powerful books are from the people who have actually experienced things, and they're sort of recording their experience in the real world, not just theory, but actually how that gets lived out in the real world. That's a good point. What about the third question? Let's get to the sort of our payoff pitches for today. Hopefully not a check swing, you know. What might make you think differently about God? Those of you that are baseball folks will know that. What might make you think differently about God as you read these particular words? Yeah. So you see through these verses, as it's like God saying, look, I'm here.
Here's the meaning, right?
I'm the meaning right here. You're looking for all these other things or through these other avenues. Yeah, okay. We are finite. God is infinite. There will always be things that God alone knows. That is true. Yes. Sometimes that, at certain points in our life, that can be a very comforting thought. At other times, it can be a very discomforting thought. I just want to know, Lord. You know, we want to, and one of the things Amy was telling me that she was anticipating some of the questions that the kids would ask about, you know, why did God destroy the earth? You know, and those inevitable questions, why do bad things happen? Sometimes we say, why do bad things happen to good people? We could just say, why do bad things happen? This is part of that mystery. We don't really truly know all of that. What about the last question? How might this affect the way in which we live? Because ultimately, learning more about the Bible is great, but how can this help affect the way in which we live as we come to new understandings? He was a wild failure in many ways. Yeah. Yes. So for you, it gives you the freedom to not have to be perfect or try to be perfect. The little video highlighted it just a little bit, but ultimately the teacher draws two conclusions that I think we can kind of hold on to. There's sort of a short-term conclusion and then a longer-term, deeper conclusion. And the short-term one is that because there is disappointment and ultimate futility in trying to seek things out apart from God, it does make sense to find enjoyment in the things of life. Because when we have this awareness that we are with God, we suddenly realize that much of that is a gift from God. So it is okay to find joy and to actually take pleasure in those small things in life. There's also that long-term conclusion or a deeper conclusion that though we can't see the deeper meaning always at work, we have to know that God is at work. God is watching and he's working things out in ways that we can't always understand because we are finite, we are limited. One day he will make all things clear to us, amen for that day, and bring all actions to light. We might not want to think about amen to that, but on that day, the futility of creation will end, and all things in heaven and on earth will find their full restoration. And that is ultimately something that should keep us moving forward. Yes, everything is meaningless apart from God, but with God, everything is potentially meaningful. So I look forward to hearing some of the other things that you discover in the rest of this book and as you read further on in Psalms. If there are other things that pop up to you throughout the week, feel free to shoot me a text or give me a call. If there's a particular verse that just like is like, bow, just hits you like a brick or like a thunderbolt, I always like to hear those things too because, you know, that's the Spirit of God at work in us. Friends, thanks for this conversation today. Let's take a moment and pray, and then we will prepare to lift our voices once again. God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your good creation, and even though we know that there is much disorder and chaos, things don't make sense, there is a great mystery in our world that there is both good and evil present. We do give you thanks that you have made yourself known and you want to be known to each of us, and that in your presence and with you, life can take on amazing meaning. We thank you for the ability to enjoy those small pleasures of life as gifts from your hand out of your abundance. And I pray that you will give each of us the patience and the courage to continue to walk with you even when we don't understand. That we can continue to reflect your light and love out into our world. God, we are part of this process of your kingdom unfolding on this earth as we speak. We're not there yet, but every step we get a little bit closer to it. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare to go, receive this blessing. May God bless you in the week to come. May he give you all that you need and desire. May he guide your steps in the here and now and be at peace forever. Amen.